From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
All right, let's start it.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
You may never have heard of the Alaska Sustainable Salmon Fund, but through the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, it manages the state of Alaska's allocations from a federal program, the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund, that seeks to ensure the long-term sustainability of salmon stocks through habitat conservation, restoration, and resiliency, as well as monitoring and assessment. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Alaska sets aside money each year for projects that contribute to healthy salmon stocks and habitats. The Alaska Sustainable Salmon Fund is the state's share of a federal program geared toward protecting Pacific salmon populations. Funds from that federal fund are also distributed among five other states and tribal partners. In recent years, AKSSF has funded about 20 projects each year. There are lots of projects in motion at any one time.
We compete for a federal grant every year. That's happening as we speak.
Debbie Moss is program coordinator for AKSSF.
And so we generally have a call for proposals every year to use those funds that we receive. But our grants last 5 years. And so our projects initially can last about 3.5 years.
Projects have to fit within the fund's objectives. There are several, from eradicating invasive species detrimental to salmon to investigating the decline of Chinook populations used for subsistence. The objectives, in turn, come from priorities set on a federal level by Congress and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The Kenai Watershed Forum is actively working on two projects through AKSSF. Brandon Borneman is executive director for the forums.
It would be hard to overstate the importance of that sort of specific directed fund to the work that we do.
One of the projects is a partnership with Cook Inlet Keeper and Ketchumek Heritage Land Trust to better understand four Kenai Peninsula salmon streams using thermal infrared imagery. They're all anadromous waters that flow from federal land to non-federal land, like Beaver Creek.
So their headwaters are protected in the refuge or in the forest or in the national park system or another federal protection unit. And then the mouth of those rivers flows through private property. So they, you know, we kind of view it as losing that protection, if you will.
The infrared imagery returns information about the subsurface temperature of those waters.
It provides to us this really colorful, beautiful map that which we can use to determine where there are potential cold water inputs to streams.
That's a big deal because stream temperatures are rising in south central Alaska and beyond. The colder springs and tributaries that feed into streams can help buffer them against those rising temperatures. Private property owners who have those streams running through their land may not know about those resources, Borneman says. That's where the Watershed Forum could come in to educate.
Telling them what a fantastic thing they have and seeing if we can work through any avenues to get them to protect that cold water input.
AKSSF is funding the Watershed Forum's project at nearly $74,000, plus a local match of almost $26,000. Grant recipients are required to provide matches of at least 35% on top of their requested funds. The Watershed Forum's other project is geared toward locating and documenting anadromous fish for the Department of Fish and Game's Anadromous Waters Catalog.
You know, through which they receive a pretty foundational set of protections.
He says they try to target waters that aren't always in the catalog, including some in North Kenai, and to substantiate areas that may have outdated data. AKSSF is funding the project at over $43,000 with a $15,000 match. The fund is accepting proposals until June 15th for funding starting March 2022. There are several documents required for the proposals, which you can find at akssf.org. Moss says they don't yet know how much they'll give out for the current round of proposals, but they estimate they'll have about $3.8 million available. Projects must directly address one of the fund's outlined objectives. Recipients will have to submit reports every 6 months, Moss says.
I would recommend that people thoroughly read the instructions. Surprisingly, that doesn't always happen, but there's a lot of good information in there.
Projects are scored and judged by a panel of independent reviewers. There will be a webinar at 9 a.m. on May 19th for applicants who have questions about the process.
Let's do the next one.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, reliably delivering for Kodiak since 1964.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287. The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
All right. A raw fish tax that's pumped tens of millions of dollars into coastal communities has survived a legal challenge before Alaska's highest court. The state can tax seafood caught beyond the 3-mile line in federal waters, then loaded onto a bulk carrier at the dock for foreign export without violating provisions of the U.S. Constitution. That's according to the Alaska Supreme Court, which released its 31-page ruling on Friday. Fisherman's Finest, a large Washington state seafood company that operates factory trawlers and exports most of its products overseas, had challenged the state's tax in court. It argued that there are protections against state taxation on shipping in coastal state waters, and a lower court agreed. But the justices, writing in a unanimous opinion, found that the fees assessed on Fisherman's Finest products were not, quote, opportunistic taxation, unquote, of vessels that pass through Alaska's waters without benefiting from local services. At stake was more than $40 million in revenue, half of which goes to the state and the other half of which goes to coastal communities in the present formula. In the Aleutians, the case was watched with interest as taxes on the lucrative pollock fishery are a major economic driver. Unalaska's Deputy Mayor Dennis Robinson says, "The raw fish tax is a major source of the city's municipal revenue, and local officials had been anxious about the impact of a decision against them."
I'm pretty relieved of that, because that is roughly 17% of our budget, and it would be devastating for this community.
The fisheries resource landing tax has existed since the 1990s and is designed to capture revenue for raw seafood that's landed on Alaska port docks before it's transshipped on cargo vessels and sold overseas. Ketchikan's summer king salmon fishing derby is canceled due to concerns about low returns. It would have been the first king salmon derby in Ketchikan since 2017. The two summers after that, organizers switched to coho due to poor forecasts for Chinook. The pandemic led to the cancellation of 2020's derby and just about everything else. Michael Briggs, who coordinates the annual fishing competition for Ketchikan's Cabaret, Hotel, Restaurant, and Retailers Association, says organizers were planning to hold the Derby over two weekends in mid to late June. But on Tuesday, Briggs said he got a call from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Sport Fish Division.
And they expressed some concerns with the idea of, you know, basically encouraging 1,000 boats across a couple of weekends to go out there and target king salmon.
State fisheries biologist Kelly Reppert declined an interview request, but she explained in a statement that the same problem that led organizers to cancel the King Derby in 2018 still exists: poor stocks of wild king salmon. And Reppert says the situation has actually deteriorated in the years since the Derby was first canceled. She went on to say, quote, "There is more concern in 2021 for the Beam Canal wild stocks than in 2018 when the Derby was first canceled. King salmon on the Unic River north of Ketchikan have been a stock of concern for ADF&G since 2017. And Reppert says too few kings are escaping the fishery into nearby Chickaman River. She says that river has missed its escapement goal for four of the last 5 years. That's despite year-round salmon fishing closures in northern and northeastern Beam Canal and other measures aimed at king salmon conservation. Reppert says the department will recommend the Chickaman Kings join Unic Kings on the list of stocks of concern. She says Fish and Game is, quote, riding the line between providing limited opportunity to target hatchery fish and implementing additional closures during the month of June. End quote. Salmon Derby coordinator Briggs says he understands ADF&G's concerns.
We certainly, like I said, don't want to do anything to impact those stocks. We want to be able to continue fishing for king salmon around here for a long time. And so while we don't exactly have a plan moving forward, I think we can say with some certainty that we will not be doing a king salmon derby, unfortunately.
He says he hopes to hold a salmon derby for silvers in late summer, although planning is still in the early stages. A king salmon fishery targeting hatchery fish is set to open June 1st in George and Carroll Inlets, east of Ketchikan. King salmon fishing elsewhere in the Ketchikan area opens June 15th, though much of the west and southeast Beam Canal remains closed until August 15th. Most areas near Ketchikan have a one-fish bag limit with a minimum length of 28 inches.
All right, Marvin.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, which recognizes the importance of Alaska's sustainable fisheries to the state's economy.
Thanks this week to KDLL Sabine Pooks, Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick, and KRBD's Eric Stone for their fine reporting. And a special thanks to the Serena Carice Band for this week's music. You can find a link to a Facebook show from them below the web version of this show on kmxt.org.
Well, I came to the city. I was running.